I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 17. The 1968 Ford Torino. Holman Moody, driven by David Pearson, won the championship. This car, 48 starts, 16 wins in 1968, 33.33%. I guess that's why... David won the late great David Pearson won the championship. Fun fact on this car, the motors were built by Waddell Wilson, who later in life built the big motors for Cale Yarborough when he went over 200 miles an hour at Daytona qualifying. So
very cool.
There we go. Cool stuff. That's when races were races and pit crew guys were pit crew guys. We're men. Running around. That's a great shot. Anyways, tonight's episode, we're going to talk about NASCAR at the Monster Mile. And then we'll talk IndyCar at Barber and so much more that went on pre and during the weekend.
Yeah.
And post. There was some news post that we alluded to in our earlier podcasts for astute listeners. And I'd like to say we were right again. We'll have some news and notes, and then we'll look ahead to this weekend in Miami. Going to Miami. Pitbull going to be, Mr. Worldwide going to be there? Probably, right?
Probably. But he's got no...
No car.
No car.
But he'll just be there.
Yeah, he can just be there.
Just be there. That'd be nice. That'd be fun. And, and then NASCAR's racing this weekend. They always race.
Where are
they? Hold on. 1 second.
I mean, we'll dive into them because...
We'll dive in right in a second. Oh, actually, the next one actually is kind of a fun race. It's at Kansas.
Oh, okay.
I kind of like that track.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right, let's talk NASCAR. Denny, another win.
Is it four or three?
Four or three, yeah. Four, I think.
Okay.
Larson was second. Truex, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott. Wow. Talk about the veterans showing up.
Mm.
That was good. I think two kind of standouts during the race were Blaney and LaJoy. Although LaJoy was running kind of a long, what do they call it? Long strategy. He just kept running long distances on his tires, and that. But you know, Denny. I mean, the guys that finished in the top five, I think, are just guys that can race well on that track, because you really got it. It's narrow. I will say that it is narrow, and it's constantly banked.
Yeah.
It's not flat. I mean, the straights aren't flat. They're banked.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be on it. I feel bad. Truex just can't catch a break.
Yeah. I mean.
You know, but.
It might sum up the season. Or.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that, you know, that they overcome later on.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting thing. Of the. The guys, that group of one, two, yeah, Larson's leading the points, Truex, Elliott, and Hamlin, and they were in the top five this weekend.
Mm.
The only one that wasn't was Kyle Busch, and he's 11th in points. So, I mean, you know, in that race, that was definitely, I think, experience and the cream rose to the top on that race.
Mm-hmm.
Larson is leading the points. Got a win, though, so he's locked in. Truex is our point leader without a win. We have Elliott, Hamlin, Tyler Reddick, William Byron. Denny, this was his third win. Sorry, not his fourth.
Third.
Then we had Ryan Blaney in seventh. He's got no win. Ty Gibbs, Alex Bowman, and Chastain round out the top 10. Anyways. Oh, Bad Brad, 16th. Had a bad race. So Bad Rad had a bad race.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the cut line right now. And he's got a 3-point margin over Christopher Bell. Fortunately, that's not his teammate, so that's good. Anyways, so we're on to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of kept that short and sweet. Yeah, like that.
That's what it should be.
Yeah. I mean, what's the action, but the stages just kill it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just ruins the race completely. Anyways, all right. So on we go. Just like to kind of two things before we move on to IndyCar. Shane Van Gisbergen's mom passed away.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. So we'll send our thoughts and prayers to the Van Gisberg family. Yeah, that was kind of quiet. I didn't realize it until. Anyways,
not everyone has to be public about everything,
right? No, and then before we get into IndyCar, I'd like to acknowledge the late great Wally Dallenbach Sr. Mm. A very good racer back in the day in the '60s and '70s. So he was in that halcyon day of Andretti, AJ, all those guys. And he was a longtime teammate to Gordon Johncock at the Pat Patrick Racing Team. He had a lot of good runs at Indy, but never a win. A lot of top fives, but never a win. So, mm-hmm. And then moved on from after retiring, he moved into being the race director at Champ Car Kart, and also worked with Dr. Stephen Olvey, mm-hmm. who was the headed up the medical side, and they worked on driver safety. So a lot of the safety aspects of IndyCar racing that you see now, excluding the Hans device, which was developed elsewhere, but an integral part of the safety of today's safety program, were offshoots of both Wally Dallenbach Sr. and Dr. Olvey. And then also Wally's survived by two sons, Wally Jr., Trans Am, IMSA GTO, and NASCAR star, and Paul Dallenbach, who is raced Formula Atlantics and stuff in their early days, open wheels. He's a little bit younger than Wally Jr., but Paul makes his name on Pikes Peak, running Unlimiteds up the hill. So, yeah. And Paul's also a Hollywood stunt driver.
Nice.
So, good stuff there. And the Dallenbachs were like the answers on that. Wally Sr., like the answers, was a Pikes Peak person. Mm-hmm. So, and they were living out that way in Basalt, Colorado. Mm-hmm. So, some condolences to the Dallenbach family. So that's kind of a passing of a legend there.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad. How old was Wally? Bear with me. Checking. Hold on. Checking. 87.
Jeez.
Wow. That's, wow.
It's pretty good.
He's from Jersey originally. Huh. I did not know that. So he was mixing it up with Mario in New Jersey and Pennsylvania during the early years. Wow, that's pretty cool. Anyways, all right. Let's move on to Barber. Should we talk the race first? Or do we want to talk what happened leading into the race?
Let's go leading into the race. Okay.
So
we'll start with that because we missed that because that came out last week that we missed.
Right. So that came out actually
literally the day after we recorded.
It came out on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
But the teams knew about it on Monday. Well, let's put it this way. Internally, it was known Sunday that something was goofy. In the paddock. That's just in the paddock, in the IndyCar paddock.
I thought it was known like Friday.
Oh, sorry, Friday.
First practice.
When was the glitch?
Friday. I thought it was first practice, yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, it was in the practice session. That's when it came up. It was before qualifying.
Okay.
That I know.
To set the scene, during the practice or warm-up session.
There was a technical issue with IndyCar.
Yes.
That the push-to-pass was deactivated because of that glitch. Mm-hmm. So the teams couldn't use it. However, two cars did use it.
Yes.
And that kind of caught some of the teams. Like, some of the teams were curious what was going on. And then,
well, it was caught by the officials
internally
first.
Too. Yeah. But some of the teams knew something was going on. The team, right? So then there was a whole thing Saturday afternoon, Sunday, in making sure that this issue was corrected. Mm-hmm. Post race, there was no technical issues from Long Beach.
No,
because it didn't occur. You know. It was just in practice, so
yes,
they took care of that, rectified that. However, on Monday, the team and its team principal were notified of the sanctions. There was discussions on Tuesday, and then news broke on Wednesday that Team Penske was disqualified from St. Pete. Mm-hmm. So essentially, all three cars were disqualified, right?
Yes, all three.
All three cars. The one with the least issue or least penalized was Will Power.
Yes.
Because
he kept his result.
He kept his result. He was penalized cash and points. Cash, I think. I know he was cash. All right. Yeah. But the reason he wasn't disqualified in terms of a disqualification from the race was he did not do what was alleged.
Yes.
Which was that Newgarden and McLaughlin were on the push to pass ahead of the time that they could use it, meaning when they went to yellow and went to go to
basically any start or restart, you have to
wait one lap and then it's activated. However, they were able to use it
right from the get-go. Yeah.
So that all came about because what they did was they went back to when this issue cropped up and they figured out what was the problem. So they said, well, this was an issue at St. Pete. Well, mm-hmm. It would have been an issue. It was also an issue at Thermal. However, Thermal, it was kind of an open book race. Like but the thing was, maybe it shouldn't have been because it would have got caught there. Mm-hmm. So this kind of just went right through the paddock with everybody. And there was a lot of quiet out of the drivers on Penske, Newgarden and McLaughlin particularly. I don't think Power should have said anything personally. He didn't need to because, you know, essentially he was kind of exonerated. He didn't. They had mm-hmm. no evidence of him using it. The other two were definitely on it. And I don't care whether you were on it for 2 seconds, like McLaughlin said, or whatever Newgarden was on it. You guys were on it, and you were using it, and you're using it to gain an advantage. So, you know, sorry, you cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, there's a bunch of other stuff that's going on, especially with Newgarden, it's a little more sketchy because Newgarden, as per listening to the Off Track with Hinch and Rossi podcast, Newgarden has brazenly said to people that he is constantly pushing that button during the race and it doesn't matter when.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now that, you know, that's been said and people acknowledge that he's been saying it. So that kind of is like, well, maybe this was in there. What were they doing something else?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the other person who kind of jumped into the fray was Colton Herter. Because Herter brought this up after the race in St. Pete, saying, I don't know why the Chevrolets were able to pull away so quickly in certain corners at certain points of the track. He brought it up. He brought it up to his team. His team brought it up to IndyCar. And it was kind of like, yeah, we'll look into it. And they never really looked into it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, this thing popped up. So the end result is apparently this has to do with some kind of coding error in the whatever the box is that controls the push to pass. And there was some value that was in it that allowed whatever that value was, that value overrode the push to pass, meaning it wasn't on. It was on versus being off. And it should have been taken out. And it was partly from the hybrid tests, which I'm like, well, why would it be on during the hybrid tests? Why would it be any different during the hybrid tests?
It's probably a way that the power gets delivered.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess I need to probably kind of see.
I mean, those cars are.
But wouldn't it the same, you know, with the hybrid, wouldn't it be the same theory? You know, it's like, why was the code changed? I don't know.
Not necessarily.
And this is what Team Penske was saying. This isn't coming from Roger. This is coming from the team. So that all kind of, you know, that just blew up. And then now it's getting towards the end of the week. You know, we're getting towards it, Barber. And people are really, like, drivers are getting PO'd about it because now it's really blatant what they were doing. Mm. The drivers were – McLaughlin put out some wishy-washy, you know, statement, and I still don't buy it. I think, honestly, those guys would have been, yep, we did it, and let it go. The statement that he put out made it look even worse. Like, it puts a little doubt into, like, we were doing this before, too. Newgarden was even worse.
Yeah, I guess the PR take on it was a bit strange of, like, why –
Yeah.
Rather than just, yeah, like you said, admitting it, then
he showed up at the press conference. He showed up at the press conference. He goes like full denial, you know, full denial. And it was a bad overall look.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem with the whole thing was that Roger was in Europe because he was at the World Endurance Race in Imola. He was traveling back Monday/Tuesday. So it's kind of tough when you're on an airplane and doing, you know, whatever he's plus his business things before he can get down. I mean, Cindric came out with the guy that runs the team, and literally, I thought they put out a great explanation.
Yeah.
I thought that was much more straightforward. I thought the drivers, not Power, but I thought McLaughlin and Newgarden, I think they should have, like, their PR people, that was terrible. They did a bad job.
Yeah.
Bad job. So it left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. I mean, and it left a bad taste in fans. I mean, because it was great. It was like, you know, oh, looking forward to this weekend. Yeah, hope you got, you know, X amount of push the pad. You know, it just opened up a whole can of worms. And they just look, you know, overall, like, in a bad spot. So we fast forward to the weekend. Roger gets there. He has, you know, he issued his statement, you know, which was fine. He had the team owners they had a meeting, closed doors. Don't know what gets said, but, you know, he was, from what was said outside of the meeting, was that he was PO'd at his team. He was very contrite about everything that happened, apologetic. It's in a bad light because he owns the series, owns IMS, and owns the team. The other people that really haven't said anything right now, Chevrolet. So that's another thing. So they've been quiet. Newgarden's kind of like, you know, playing Pinocchio, and McLaughlin's playing semi-Pinocchio. That's how I look at it. I mean, I don't think Power, somebody could have said something, and it went in one ear and out the other with him, and he probably's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And you know, that's just how Will is. So anyway, so that kind of went to the weekend, and it was just a big cloud hanging over the race all weekend. You know, we fast forward to qualifying. Penske will 1-2 with McLaughlin and Power on the pole. Again, that sets off a whole nother thing with people, you know, and things like that. You know, but McLaughlin and Power both have done really well at that track.
Yeah. And I mean, even the even the previous week at Long Beach, it wasn't like power was slow either.
Well, he qualified second there.
He qualified second, yeah. And then he only fell down because of
the tire strategy. The strategy
he got put on he was trying to do the fuel strategy that Dixon did, but he couldn't do it.
Anyways. He ended up with the same issue that Herter ended up with. So anyway, so now we come into the race. Just what recap what happened with St. Pete. Pato got obviously got moved up to first. Mm-hmm. And then the way the points shuffle worked, Dixon was the points leader. Yes. Was Pato second?
No, Colton was
Colton
second.
Was, and then somebody else. I think Pato ended up in the top five.
Yeah, but yeah.
Anyway, so and those guys were kind of like, you know, Dixon was kind of like, I'll take it. You know, I don't, you know, and I Herter was still, he was definitely the one in the front, you know, like, these guys are friggin' lying, blah, blah, blah. And I don't blame them being pissed off, you know? I think the Chevy teams were keeping their mouth shut a little bit, but I think they're kind of pissed. If Chevrolet knew about this and they were letting Penske do it and they didn't tell the rest of the teams, like, it should have been shut down because it's a bad look.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so we go to the race. The race, it was wild, I guess, the best way to describe it. I've never seen this much side-to-side contact in an IndyCar race in my life.
Yes, but I'll take the side of McLaughlin and Power dominated
yeah.
that race.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, there was plenty of action yeah. in the back because it was definitely those two were in a class of their own, and then the rest right. of the field was there battling away.
And there were guys like Lindquist,
but the
Rosenquist, oh, geez, and Lundgaard. Like, what was this, the Scandinavian posse?
Well, so the way the race unfolded, there was pretty much a caution just about at the right time to hit.
Yeah, yeah. So it kind of made it, like, McLaughlin could have stretched one and made it a two stop. Or
okay, so Pelot was the two stop.
Yeah,
he was the leading guy yeah. of that two stop group.
Yeah,
which I thought going into that final restart, I thought Pelot had it because the cautions were coming out at the right times and they were able to stretch yeah. it that 31 laps. It was good. But they couldn't save fuel.
Right.
Like, if Dixon was up there, that was probably the one to be up there to run a pace and save fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, well, I mean, that's his career. And then, but more so because he just did it at Long Beach.
Right.
It was becoming pretty evident that that Pelot and then the rest of the guys that were on that strategy weren't going to come out on top because McLaughlin and Power just had so much pace when they got into open air after Ferrucci and Lundqvist pitted from the front that they just started walking away from the pack and built a big enough gap.
Right.
At one point, I was kind of 50-50 because it... There was a point where I sat there, I was like, well, the way the pit stops were shaken out was, do you have enough time to take tires with the amount of fuel you need in the car? But I think Ferrucci needed to go longer, or he had to pit first. So yeah. if he went longer, he would have been in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
But... Lundqvist was definitely in the right place right
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah. And he was on the same strategy as Power and McLaughlin, right?
Slightly offset.
So he was in between kind of the two-stop, three-stop, the way it was
yes,
working. Okay.
Yeah. Ferrucci was closer to the...
So had Pelot maybe followed that Lundqvist strategy, might he have...
Yes, but Pelot had track position.
Okay.
For the race up until that point, so there wasn't really a need for him to to do that, and the cautions were falling the right time, and so he basically didn't pit when the two Penske cars did. Mm-hmm. earlier in the race.
Yeah.
So that kind of committed him to that that two-stop strategy versus three, which was fine. I mean, it was very entertaining because up until the last 30 laps or so, you didn't really know who was going to come out on top.
I mean, Grosjean was in the mix for a bit, and then he just fell afoul of the strategy, you know. So So unfortunately, that dropped him down. Ferrucci finally got a bee in his bonnet, I guess. I'm not the biggest Santino fan.
At one point, I was legitimately thinking he kind of like got his way up there pretty good, which was fine. I mean, fine. Like, you play the strategy game.
Yeah, but he was.
But he seemed
aggressive
on his last pit stop because of how early he had to come in for that. In comparison to McLaughlin and Bauer, he came back out in too much traffic and couldn't take advantage of it, or take advantage of any kind of clean air that the other two were.
Right. So, anyways,
although he did pick up a couple spots on the last restart there.
Yeah. So. Like Santino, was aggressive throughout the race. He was kind of dicing it up with both Herter as well as Newgarden. Newgarden really, his race kind of unraveled with some, you know, he had an off-course excursion and things like that.
Well, it started with a bad qualifying.
Bad qualifying.
So he was already down the order.
Yeah, he was an off-track type and during the race.
Because he was also on a different strategy to start the race,
So. Because where he was starting, another one that was in the mix for a bit was Graham Rahal. Again, just, you know, tough. Just tough luck. I mean, he had a tough weekend because he just missed out the fast six, and then just victim of strategy, you know.
Yeah.
So, Marcus Armstrong had a really strong race, finished ninth.
Mm-hmm.
He was up there, but his strategy unfolded as Pelot was coming through the field. Yep. He was kind of going backwards through the field, so he stabilized at ninth. Herta was starting in the, I think he started like 16th. He's 15th. So, I mean, on a track where it's pretty difficult to pass, you know, made up some time there. He was on a two-stop strategy. You know, it really, the three stoppers, the strategy at that track,
the way that the cautions were falling, it opened up the two stop.
Right. But had the cautions not followed, the three stop would have been,
the three stop was the way to go.
These guys, these two stoppers would have fallen even further down. Froyo, Felix with a fourth, excellent job. Linus with a fine third, and then, hats off to Christian Lundegaard. Pelot, again, great race. I mean, you know, Christian Lundegaard with a good race. So that was just, overall, thought it was a good race. The disappointing team of the weekend, and perhaps their team owner should kind of keep his mouth shut in terms of what he thinks about car counts on IndyCar. His team finished 22nd, 23rd, and 25th. That's outside the top 20, and as Zach was so proudly to exclaim that IndyCar should really only have 20 cars, I applaud Zach and his team. Well done.
When did he say that?
He said that when he got named to the marketing campaign, like that was like leading into the week. He go look it up. It's there. He said that.
Going into Barber?
Yeah, going into Barber. It's like he wants, like he thinks that we should be going the route of Formula One.
Yeah, no.
No. We want more cars because we want more drivers, okay? I mean, yes, there's Penske, Andretti, Ganassi. However, this weekend, Ferrucci was up there. Rahal Letterman was up there. Yeah. I mean, it's like you can't discount these
Meyer
teams.
Meyer Shank Racing was
Meyer up there. Shank. I mean,
Rosenquist is doing a really good job with that car.
Oh, yeah. I think he's really enjoying it. And Blomqvist, he's starting to improve. He's still
It's hard to get a read on him.
Yeah, it's hard to get a read. So, yeah, well done, Team McLaren. I'd like to, especially driver of the race, I'd like to award to Pato O'Ward, Mr. Fast Hands, and friend of the NBC broadcast crew, for first off, bowling-balling Pietro Fittipaldi out of the way, and then bowling-balling several other drivers out of the way during the race. You know, he got one penalty. He got the penalty for Fittipaldi, and he was like, oh, it was a racing incident. No. You climbed over the curb and right into him. So, I go into the year with him, eyes wide open. Like, this might be, he might put it together. And then it just does the same stuff. And yeah, same stuff, and no one there seems to hold him accountable. Rossi had a good race going, except the pit crew didn't do their job.
Right.
So he was out with a left rear tire came off.
Yes, left rear.
Left rear. That was awesome. At the end of the pit lane, even better.
Yeah.
Teo, great job again. I mean, this track here,
I wasn't
expecting anything out of him here.
He's doing what he needs to. He's getting laps.
He brought the car home. Didn't get damaged. Nothing.
Whoa.
Like that. What? Did it?
He might have had some help from a teammate.
From Pato? When?
Right at the end of the race.
Did Pato hit him? Oh, well, it's just par for the course.
So just an observation.
Yep. We had Luca Giotto step into the Dale Coyne car. Finished 21st.
Just an observation. That's two out of three races that Pato has.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
touched a teammate.
He's been fine. So, he was clean at St. Pete.
He was. He won. He won there.
Jack Harvey had a good run. Finished 13th.
Actually, when Pato doesn't make contact with the teammate, he wins a race.
Does he? Okay. So. But he's NBC loves him. He's Mr. Fast Hands.
Just observations. Hopefully he'll figure it out.
I really, outside of James Hinchcliffe, just the glossing over of the whole incident with Penske by T-Bell and Lee Diffie was ridiculous. Anyways. All right. Let's talk. Let's just take a quick look at the standings since they were all mucked up. So right now we have Colton Herter. Ah, this is actually even better. I like this though. I like the fact that Will's second. I do like that. I like that. But this is where it gets. Now it gets sketchy. Now it's Team Ganassi. It's Pello Dixon.
Yeah,
and they're. They are 3 points and 7 points.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, granted, it's only three races. And
coming off a strong season so far, Felix.
Yeah.
Is fifth. And there's a serious gap down to Pato. So, this is shaping up good. I was just really, really, looks good. All right, our next race is the Indy GP. Not the Indy 500, but the Indy GP.
The road course.
Yeah,
the road course. I think there's some 500 testing, and then it's the road course.
Yeah.
And then they go back to that. So, anyways, it's the month of May, so we're
my
at
favorite,
we're
My
at
favorite
Indy.
Thing is, like, on the Indy's car schedule, like, they have the St. Pete and had Newgarden up there before. Now it's been changed.
Oh yeah,
old word. That's awesome.
And they
this is my favorite race though. The next one. This is. I have to tune in for this. This is on May 11th. Oh, I'm going to be flying back. I don't know if I'm going to get that. I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, you'll get it on the flight.
I'm flying Delta.
Yeah,
David TV.
That's what I watched.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is my favorite race with Lee Diffie. Sonzio Grand Prix. I love that. I love Lee when he does that. So
we gotta pick it. By by that weekend, we got a, or I'm sorry, by next.
Next Tuesday.
Ooh.
Oh, no, Monday. Might have to pod on Monday.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways, by next week, we'll have an over-under number of how many times lead if he takes.
The pod may get released early next week.
Says Sanzio.
We have to go somewhere.
Yeah. Well, but the, kind of but the, or you could play a drinking game of how, every time he says Sanzio.
Sanzio, yeah. I could do that on the plane. Probably get thrown off. God. Anyways. Oh, God. It just really just drives me up. Anyways, moving on. And then.
You know what? No. You know what would really cap off that weekend is if either Will Power or Pillow wins the race.
Oh, yeah. Actually, doesn't Herta do well on this track too?
Well, last year it was.
Was this the rain?
No.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. So Herta did well there, but last year was the RLL dominance.
Oh, that's right.
So
right.
And then at least in qualifying and had a good showing.
Yeah, I don't know about I'll have to look up testing, but after that they roll right into the 500 weeks. So.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So okay. Well, we do have. Kicking off our news to notes thing, I'd like to lead off with a story that we broke here on the Rip Miss podcast. Oh, God. Every time we bring something up and it happens, I have to laugh. I think it was after St. Petersburg, we kind of were talking about Malukas. And it was kind of like...
We were talking before it, too, because... Because we knew he was going to be out for the first race.
And then who sat in for him there?
Oh, God, the first.
Oh, Ilott did. Did Ilott? Yeah, Ilott sat in for him.
Checking?
I believe it was Ilott.
Yeah.
It was Ilott. Yeah, so we were like going, you know, at first it was like, oh, he fell off his mountain bike and he fractured his wrist, you know. And we're like, oh, okay, well, you know what, a road course to start the season, not the best.
But bumpy road course.
Bumpy road course. Yeah. So, you know, be back, start, make the tests. There was a test after St. Pete and then you'll do the thermal race and be all good to go. And then it was like dead quiet, and there was just nothing coming out. And then we kind of just said, or I just kind of threw it out there. I said, do you think this might be worse than what it is? Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, it is.
Yeah, I didn't think it was this bad.
It wasn't. So. There's the obvious wrist injury, which still hasn't healed correctly. Mm. But there's also been a couple other injuries apparently that were sustained because this wasn't simply falling off the bike. This was like some big mountain bike disaster type thing that he was involved in. And we kind of said at the time, I'm going, well, you really kind of got to watch what you're doing, you know, when you're training. Like, mm-hmm. we had Lance. Get falling off the bike.
Alonso got hit by a car
on a bike. I mean, once the season starts, I think these guys really got to kind of think about what they're doing in terms of their training. Mm. Like you running, yeah, you can, you know, trip over a curb. You know, you can blow. You can get hurt.
Well, I mean,
but the bike stuff always seems to come up with these guys. Mm-hmm. Like. Somebody falls off, they get road rash, you know. It's like somebody's out motocrossing and, you know, things like that. It just, I think you got to really watch what you're doing. But I really think he was, whatever he was doing, you know, it just.
I don't
think it was any malice in it.
I'm not going to go to that extreme. Like if he did just fall off and it's just not healing correctly, so, or he hit it in a wrong way. Like,
right. What turns out to be is that there was a clause in his contract. Mm. And I think this might be, it's probably in everybody but Pato's. If you miss four, they have a right to review the contract and possibly terminate you. Mm-hmm. The problem is that they are heavily sponsored. sponsors are like, what's going on? You know, they sponsors are coming on. Okay, Malukas going to be our guy, blah, 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 blah. Malukas did a lot of stuff leading into the season, and it's not paying off. Now, the sad part about this whole thing was Malukas was showing up every weekend.
Yeah.
Did you see the video from this weekend? He shows up, and he's actually helping the crew.
Oh.
Clean the car, clean tires, doing whatever. He's doing grunt work.
Yeah.
Actually working on the car. And then on Tuesday, Zach cuts him loose.
Yeah.
Now, this is just going back to, I'm not, this guy, like, people are all like, oh, Zach's the guy, Zach's the guy. I go, Zach's only agenda is whoever's going to try and make that car go, you know? Mm-hmm. He doesn't care. He's, the rate that he goes through drivers is, it's ridiculous. And he signs drivers. Like, he's constantly signing drivers. I don't even know if he has a plan. I think he just, you know, he's sitting there, he's got money from Bahrain, and he just throws it into the contract, you know? Yeah. So, anyway, so Malukas is now out of a ride.
Yeah.
So, there's, you know, where could he go? He could go back to coin. Now, this the other thing with this whole McLaren thing was, in the past, Malukas had been kind of running under the HMD banner, which is his dad's racing banner. So his dad's been not writing writing the check, but he's been you know, creating team, like a sub team to run with him. So you did that with coin and all that. All fine. I don't care. He wants to run coin HMD racing, which is fine. He's given the money, doing all that, but he just doesn't want to take the full investment of having a team. All good. But he also has HMD, and he has a ladder series team too. So David's father is fully connected within the IndyCar paddock. Mm-hmm. This was the first opportunity David had without having to pay for a ride, being a pro driver. So feel bad for him on that. So, you know, where does he go? Well, possibly back to coin, right? Mm-hmm. They're kind of like all over the place in terms of what they're doing. The only other one right now is Abel, which is like we know what's going to happen. They'll probably qualify, but the plan right now is that RC Anderson's bringing the money, like going to bring the money for that they can get on the track. I don't know. Now, unless somebody, like, let's just throw this out. Let's just say RHR or Connor Daly, who are on Dry Rhine Bowl for Indy.
Yeah.
Let's say the only one I think they get, well, Purcher has a bunch of conflicts. Callum Ilott has a bunch of conflicts. So that doesn't put a lot of stability in the car. Now, unless you buy Purcher out of his Super Formula ride, which I don't know what the tie-in there is. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't.
Because that series is pretty prestigious, and he's there.
If Porcher's aim is still F1, he needs to stay in Super
Formula. Super Formula, right. Yeah. Because if he goes IndyCar, he's got to commit to IndyCar, and that's it. You know, I hate to say it. Because he's going to need this year and next year. That's just my opinion. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I love the scene. He seems like a nice kid and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ilott, he's got wet conflicts all over the place, and I don't think they're going to be letting him out. I don't think Jota's letting him out of that contract.
Yeah,
at this point of the season, because he's been in for the preseason. So, unless there's some big dollar amount thrown, okay. So that kind of, now you start going, okay, who else? Well, now you got two guys, RHR and Daly, who have been, you know, sub drivers everywhere.
Yeah.
And substitute drivers. So could you bring one of them in? And then that would open a seat for Malukas maybe to take in that right. Now, the other thing is, if one of those two go, would they possibly go Sage Karam? Because I think he drove for them once too. Not McLaren, but in. The other thing is, there's a lot of kind of weirdness going on with Ed Carpenter Racing, so people don't know what's going on down there.
Yeah.
I feel bad that it came to this. When I kind of put it out there, I wasn't trying to like say he wasn't worthy of the seat. I just was saying at some point, like, it's like this is getting worrisome.
Yeah,
and it came.
Well, when you brought it up, I don't think I saw the big picture either of the fact like they went testing at Indy, and he wasn't able to be in the car to do that. Which again, those are miles that you can't pass up.
The other thing is you were brought in with McLaren being a, kind of the global brand thing.
Yeah.
They're bringing you in, you know, for their sponsor events and all this. Mm. Like they were a preseason night, and you're not showing up. It's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, it starts to get like, if I'm a sponsor now, I'm kind of like with a ward. I'm like, is he going to keep crashing in the cars?
Yeah.
You know, like one win is not going to rebound him. He needs, well, he's got to string a bunch in. That's just my opinion.
Also, like, I mean, however you look at, like, you inherited the win. I know a win is a win, but you did inherit it. So. Yeah.
I mean, we're in the top, you know, top five. So
yes. He can still put a season together. Like, it's not out of the realm. Plus, they really haven't done any ovals yet either, and he's been pretty strong in an oval. Yeah. So there is time to come back.
Yep.
So
no, I 100% agree. All right. That kind of closes out IndyCar. You know, they're at Indy for the GP next. Other news, that was the only other news that happened was Beth Peretta is going to be joining Formula E as its sporting director.
Hmm.
So good on them. That's good for her too. I mean, it's well deserved. She's been trying to get her own team going in IndyCar and keeps getting stonewalled by people. So that's always classic. But good for her to kind of take some kind of serious leadership role. So I wish her best luck there. Formula One, before we get to Miami, we have nothing to report on Adrian Newey. Anyways.
Does Adrian Newey have anything to report on Adrian Newey?
I don't know.
I'm waiting for him to come out and say, it's all been nothing.
Outsider right now, I have not seen one serious F1 journalist.
Yeah.
Like Medlin, Joe Sayward, others, Adam Cooper. I haven't seen any of them out there talking about this. Okay. Yeah. All it's been has been stuff through, you know, Autosport, which likes to throw stuff up because they got it through some source in Germany, and we got Ralf Schumacher shooting his mouth off and stuff like that. There is a lot to consider, and we touched on it. I think last week we talked a little bit about Newey and his, you know, the guy's 65 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the contract with Red Bull, if they had to hold him to it, runs out at 2025. There is also in the contract, he has a year gardening leave. So he'd have to sit out the 26th season and he can start in 27. The 26th season doesn't mean he gets to go, you know, to Ferrari or Aston and sit in the shot. He is essentially at home. He can sit there and draw all his stuff.
Yeah.
But if there's one email,
it's
like lights out.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think Adrian wants that crap. I'll be honest with you. I think he might just be retiring. I really do.
Yeah, I think if
I will say this, if Lewis was at Aston, I think he would. There's a good shot he would go there.
Depending on how well, I mean
the only reason there is he just. I think at this point he just doesn't want to uproot with his wife and go to Italy.
The other thing too is he's also said he probably would have liked to work with Alonso.
Yeah,
but if the contract is up this year,
Aston had Hamilton and Alonso, which I doubt it would ever happen.
No.
I think let's just say Lewis stayed at Mercedes.
Mm.
I think him going to Aston might have happened, meaning Newey.
Mm-hmm.
Ferrari can write all the checks in the world, okay?
They have yet to show that they are a functional Formula One team. Okay, in terms of a winning team, a championship caliber team.
Yeah, because they do show up every season.
Right now, they have a driver who's fully 100% motivated.
Yeah.
To get a ride next year, and that's he is willing that car to get the best finishes mm-hmm. possible. The other driver, I think he's kind of on the back foot because of who's coming. It's a big shadow that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that's all about. Okay. And Eric's, what's his name? The guy, the head of Stellantis there. Or head of Ferrari. Eric's, what's the American? Is it Ericsson?
I don't know.
Anyways, you know, he can sit there and write all the checks he wants. At the end of the day, Newey's got to come in, and then he's going to pen a whole new car. And he can't do it until he leaves these guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of why I'm kind of going down the road. Like, I think he's retiring.
Yeah.
I think he's retiring, and I think he's going to retire, and he's going to go sail his boat. That's what I think he's going to go do. Mm. That's just my opinion. Now, I'm going to be another person, and I'll throw this one out in the wind. What happens if he shows up at Andretti?
Hmm.
Now, people don't know this. Okay. Can right. I just yeah, let me no, let me no, just go down go this route?
Go with this one. Yeah.
He was in IndyCar with Mario, just so you know.
Mm.
And he was also in IndyCar with Bobby Rahal. Because he was an engineer, and then he was with Renard, and he was all this stuff. So, look, you can sit there and if he's like no one's saying there, but you know that would say he leaves now, and it's like okay, fine, you can go back in 27.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's going to show up in the paddock? Yeah. So who potentially could show yeah, is them.
Yeah.
Again, this is just you know when you just sit there and go, he has ties to Andretti.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's just you know, it's like. He gets along with Mario. He gets along with Bobby Rahal. He gets along with those guys. Mm. I mean, this isn't, you know, it's not a far-fetched idea.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like his last thing is like, I'm going to pen a new car for a new team, which he's not afraid to do because he did the Reynards in IndyCar.
I guess the other question is, does Audi throw a big enough dollar amount at him?
Yeah, but that would require him going to Switzerland. I don't think he wants to be outside the UK. Mm. That's just my opinion.
Because, well, and the only way I... Or what I mean by Audi, too, is also if they can get talent behind it, then you can also incentivize drivers to come there as well. Speaking of drivers... They signed Hülkenberg, so he is leaving Haas at the end of the year and going to Sauber for 25, which will turn into Audi in 26.
The Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to find. I was just trying to find his time in IndyCar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, here's some other guy. Like, this guy's thinking outside the box. He goes, why not IndyCar? I 100% agree. But I don't see these other more established journalists out there, you know, unless they're just digging behind the scenes. And,
yeah.
You know, there's just guys that are tied into the paddock, you know. And
And it's the same thing with this Verstappen story of him going Mercedes. I don't know.
That car, where is that car going? Anyways, yeah. Anywhere?
Well,
ooh, holy crap, he designed some really cool cars.
The other thing, too, that I thought was an interesting take was if Red Bull is, you know, falling apart.
Yeah.
Whatever. Between Newey leaving and potentially Max leaving, does what does Ford do? Do they still commit?
Knowing them, no.
That's my guess too. Because if your star lineup is out,
right,
then you're not signing into what you
yeah. So first can you imagine you where the pressure like yeah. if Nui's gonna leave, Nui's gonna the guy's 65. Okay,
he can do whatever he wants. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Both of these guys both can do, do whatever they want.
I just my thing with Max is like, why do you want to go to Mercedes until they prove themselves that they got a car on the rebound? Just taking Toto's word for it, you know, I get it. They're probably going to get Max, who's probably a little more involved in the cars than, say, Lewis might be. Hmm. But I'm not – I'm just – you know, I'm just saying.
It's hard – for them, it's a hard situation, too, because I'm in the boat of – I'm not sold on – Kimi Antonelli, and nothing against him, but I just
I'm not 100% sold on him either.
I haven't seen
him. Like I'm talking this kid should be winning races out of the box, and he's not. I mean, he's got his super license and all this.
Well, and like I can't.
Can I ask?
I can't go down.
Do you think Max really wants to be sucking around with an 18-year-old on the team? If he's at Mercedes.
Like George has dropped and he's replacing. Yeah,
even if it's 2 years from now. It's like Max doesn't – like Max is not buddy-buddy with everybody, okay? I mean Max is a race car driver, okay?
Well, he's there to win.
He's friends – you know, the guys he's friends with are guys he's been around with his whole career from karting. So Lando, Carlos –
yeah,
you know, I don't know if George was in there, but you know, Charles was in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the guys Max hangs out with. I mean, Lewis is older than him, and he's not really like they don't really have a lot in common. You know,
well,
they're two different personalities too.
Every year, the number of friends Lewis has on the grid drops. Like that's just.
I feel bad for him too.
I get it. Like it's. It's a thing.
You know, it's a thing, but.
Look, if there was more seats on the grid, maybe
you know, 100% more agree. People would be 100% around. Agree. But, hey, look, I'm just throwing crap out there about a couple things with I'm throwing crap out there. But, I mean, look, it's, you know, until somebody's more learned in the Formula One paddock, maybe there's something come out this weekend. Who knows?
Based on all these headlines and stories, there's supposed to be news.
I get up every day and I look and I and all I see is more news from some German publication and I'm like, never mind. Anyways, I would laugh my rear end off if he quit and came with Andretti.
Oh yeah, I think.
Oh,
that would be great.
That would be. Oh, I would just lose my mind.
But it also
would be awesome,
and then again, you can
imagine if Max signs with them.
It would just be the most ironic stuff.
It would just be poetic. Yeah, it'd just be just absolute poetic justice.
Yeah, just like we're not competitive.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, all right, whatever. Hey, it would just be funny.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. Let's do our picks, then we can wrap this up.
Yes. No. Let's do F1 first.
Oh, I don't have anything.
All right. Well, Nate did actually get his picks in for this week.
Did he?
He is taking Max to win, Leclerc second, Lando third, and Gasly as his dark horse.
Gasly is a dark horse.
This week in Miami.
Interesting.
So,
all right. I'm going to go Max to win. I'm going to go Perez. No, I'm going to go Max, Sainz, Perez.
All right.
And my dark horse is going to be... Piastri.
I've gone Max, Perez, Leclerc, and then Ricciardo as my dark horse.
Oh, I like that.
So I think he'll
hopefully
get his.
Can I change mine to Yuki?
Yeah, you can change
it. I'll change it to Yuki.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, we probably should start picking, like, actual dark horses.
I was just... Yeah, but Piastri is...
He's not. Like, he's in a car that's there with Lando, you know? Like, I mean... Yeah.
That's the March. That's cool. 1980.
Yeah.
That was an awesome car.
You
know who drove that? K.K. Rosberg.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, sorry. That was...
No, was it Rosberg?
Yeah, it was. And it was actually a Fittipaldi.
Oh.
That was Cooper Sakar became Fittipaldi.
Mm.
Oh, but it was such a... That was cool. I liked it.
I do want to go back on IndyCar for 1 second. Nothing news related. Picks for last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think you had the best average
between
your winner and your dark horse. You picked Pelot to win.
Oh, okay.
He was fifth.
And
then you picked Rosenqvist as your dark horse.
Oh, and he was fourth.
Yeah. So you actually had a dark horse outdo your first place pick. I had Power to win very close.
Second, yeah.
My dark horse was Grosjean. That's where I faltered.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. That's all right.
Nate.
He had Ferrucci.
He had Kirkwood as his dark horse. Yes. As his dark horse.
Yeah.
And his winner, he did pick correctly of Scott McLaughlin.
Scotty McLaughlin.
Yeah.
There we go.
So, congrats, Nate, on your pick.
We will start the Nui to Andretti drum beats.
That would be funny.
That would be friggin' hilarious. Who's to say it hasn't happened?
I don't know.
He's going to come out and he's taken a position with Andretti as chief technical designer.
We missed the elephant in the room with the IndyCar race. There was a mannequin that dropped on the track.
Oh, Georgina. Rip Georgina. I didn't even know there was a friggin' mannequin under the bridge. Everyone apparently did. And I was like, what the hell is up there? I don't think it'll be back anytime soon.
No.
Wow.
But, yeah.
All right. Is that up there for like the IMSA races too and stuff?
I have no idea how long that thing's been up there. I just
found it. Yeah. I was like, what?
But I don't know who said it, but someone was like, yeah, it would have been really... I can't remember if it was one of the drivers or some team member, and they were like, yeah, it would have been really funny if it, like, dropped in the car.
Oh.
Because then the radio message would have been like, there's a woman on top of mine. Something like that. You're like,
what? I know Hinchcliffe, like literally lost it. He went MIA on the... broadcast for about 5-10 minutes because I think he was like laughing his ass off or something. But anyways, all right, on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.